greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the flu vaccine shortage right after this. Well, welcome to Tax Freedom Day. Do you know when that is? That's about May 12th every year. May 12th. It means that you work all of January, February, March, April, and a third of May to pay your income tax for the year. And that's not all. Then you get to work for the rest of May and all of June to pay your other withholding taxes. And this income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal enterprises. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. And Social Security is the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto. Does practicing communism produce happiness and success? Well, this income tax and Social Security tax also violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Scripture. And it also violates our English common law. Well, about 14 million Americans are not enrolled in Social Security. And more people are opting out of Social Security every day. That's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? Why don't you call or write today for my free general law CD package. To order that CD package, remember it's free of charge, all you have to do is call and ask. Number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or you can go to the website georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Hey, last time we were talking about the flu vaccine shortage. Hey, if you missed out on your flu vaccine this year, maybe all isn't lost. Now, people get excited about some things. They get excited about religion. They get excited about politics. They get excited about health and one thing and another. People will read the labels on their cans and they won't buy tuna fish because Donnie the Dolphin might have got caught in a tuna net, you know. So they're real concerned about what goes in their mouths, but they're not too concerned about the snake venom and monkey pus that somebody is shooting them up or mainlining them with. So I thought, well, shucks, why don't we take a look at these vaccinations? Maybe they're not all that they're cracked up to be. I know that's heresy. And I know it's politically incorrect, and I know that it's crazy in its face, but bear with me and let's take a look here. In 1986, we're talking about this thing of vaccines, you know. And people today are really excited about and they're really nervous and upset about the government. It's their fault that I didn't get my flu vaccine this year. We're going to blame George Bush. My God, we wouldn't blame ourselves, would we? Let me make a suggestion. You didn't get your flu vaccine this year, right? And you're real concerned about flu vaccine. Why don't you take the bull by the horns, call your doctor and tell him next year, 2005, I want to get my vaccine for the 2005-2006 flu season. Why don't you order it today to make sure that you get your flu vaccine next year? I know it's a wild new idea to plan ahead. But test it. And I'll bet you next year, next August, September, October, along in there, your flu vaccine will be there and you will have ordered yours in advance. And then you won't be disappointed next year. No, I'm not disappointed. I didn't get mine. You know, I'm 65 and I haven't had a shot. Can you believe that? Can you believe that an American male can live 65 whole years without any snake venom, monkey pus being shot up and mainlined anything? Well, yet. I mean, they might knock me down and stick me, but I'll be kicking and screaming and fighting every step of the way. Americans take vaccines, you know, for granted. You know, we've been shot up and stuck for years, and everybody says, well, it must be good for us or they wouldn't be doing it to us. It must be good for us or they wouldn't be doing it to us. Well, back in 1986, there were 1,300 cases of pertussis. They call that whooping cough. 1,300 cases in Kansas. Isn't that terrible? 1,300 cases of whooping cough in Kansas in 1986. 90% of the cases occurred in children who had been vaccinated. Did you hear that? All right, let's take 1,300 times 90%, shall we? Here's 1,300 times 0.90. 1,300 kids get whooping cough. 1,170 of them have been vaccinated. Now, let's see. What does that tell us? It tells us that just because you've been vaccinated doesn't mean you're not going to get the disease. Can you all follow that? Does that make sense to you? Just because you've been vaccinated doesn't mean you're not going to get the disease. What's the purpose for vaccination? Why do we go in to get a vaccination? We go in and we spend $25 to get a vaccination, and the doctor says, this isn't going to guarantee that you're not going to get whooping cough, but it's going to guarantee that I'll eat lunch today. This is my lunch money, this $25. Thank you for coming in. Would you spend $25 to get a vaccine? The doctor says 90% of the time it doesn't work. Would you buy a car if the dealer says 90% of the time this car doesn't start? Would you take your car to a mechanic that says 90% of the time when I get through with your car it won't run? And then pay money for that? I mean, come on, boys and girls. Come on, boys and girls. Surely we got to be smarter than that, aren't we? Then somebody said, my God, they're short of flu vaccine. Well, excuse me, let's carry this out one step further. If 90% of the whooping cough vaccine doesn't work, what makes you think the flu vaccine works any better than 10% of the time, assuming that it works at all? you ever think about things like that? I know it's politically incorrect and it's heresy and it's nigh on to insanity, but then, you know, you want to spend your money on something that doesn't work, or you want to spend your money on something that does work? I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't get your children shot up with snake venom and monkey pus. I mean, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But have you ever thought about 90%? 90% doesn't work 90% of the time? And you want to buy that? No, there's more to the story. Similar vaccine failures have been reported from Nova Scotia, where pertussis continues to be occurring despite universal vaccination. I mean, everybody's vaccinated. Pertussis remains endemic in the Netherlands, where for more than 20 years, 96% of the children have received 3 pertussis shots by age 12 months. Got that? Wait a minute. I thought we went in here to get our shot to prevent disease. You got to get 3 shots, and it still doesn't prevent the disease. See, when I was a kid, you went in and you got a shot. Today, you go in and get 3 shots, and it still doesn't prevent the disease. See, in the old days when I was a kid and you came down with it and you didn't have your shot, they'd say to you, well, see, you should have got your vaccine, and then you wouldn't have got sick. Now, when you get your shot and you get sick, they say to you, well, it would have been a lot worse if you hadn't got your shot. And we call animals dumb. We look at our dog and we say, my God, that's a dumb animal. You know, even a dog can tell the difference between getting kicked and getting stumbled over, for crying out loud. And they're dumb animals. Human beings are supposed to be intelligent, aren't they? Now you go in here and get 3 shots and you still get sick and you call that smart? What in the hell do you call stupid? Now, after institution of diphtheria vaccination in England and Wales back in England and Wales back in 1894. Now picture this. We got diphtheria. Diphtheria. God, that's terrible. We don't want to get diphtheria. Whatever this is, we don't want it. I don't know why, but we don't want it. So back in 1894, the English said, well, we can't have diphtheria, so we're going to vaccinate everybody. Well, in 1894, the number of deaths from diphtheria rose by 20% in the subsequent 15 years. Now, let's test this one. We've got this terrible disease called diphtheria. You get diphtheria, and some people die from it. And we look at that and say, oh my God, that terrifies me. I'm afraid I might get diphtheria. So the English come along and they say, well, let's give you a shot for it. So we vaccinate all these people over here for diphtheria. And the death rate goes up by 20%. And we call dogs dumb and humans intelligent. Now, maybe you didn't know this. Maybe you hadn't gone into the library to read the medical journals. I'm just reporting what's in the medical journals here. Remember, we started off yesterday, you know, and there was this doctor, this guy who's been, who's the world's number one, what's his name here? Mr. Feudenberg, Hugh Feudenberg, MD. He's the world's leading immunogeneticist. He's the number one head honcho of immunogenetics. He's the author of 850 papers in peer-reviewed journals. Remember that guy? That's what we started with yesterday. Now, I know that you know that vaccinations prevent disease. I know because I heard the same story that you heard. Vaccines prevent disease. I had a school nurse call me up. I reported this last time. Call me up and tell me that without vaccines, the world would die. That the world was saved by vaccines. You thought Jesus saved the world. No! Vaccines! Vaccines saved the world. Pay attention. You go to school, buy your books, you eat the covers, and don't learn nothing. Vaccines saved the world. I got it right from the school nurse. After institution of diphtheria vaccines in their vaccination in England and Wales in 1894, the number of deaths from diphtheria rose 20%. Germany had compulsory vaccination in 1939. The rate of diphtheria spiraled to 150,000 cases that year. Whereas Norway, which did not have compulsory vaccination, had only 50 cases of diphtheria the same year. Norwegians have 50 cases of diphtheria. You know, that'll tell you something. You know, if you don't have vaccination, diphtheria will occur anyway. But if you have diphtheria vaccination, you'll have more diphtheria. Well, now that helps us quite a bit. If you want more diphtheria, you need more diphtheria vaccination. Now, if that's the objective that you're looking for, you boys and girls are very successful. You have succeeded beyond your wildest expectations. So remember this, if you want more disease, you need more vaccination. Hey, I didn't make this up. I didn't come up with this idea. I'm just reporting it to you from the medical journals. I'm reporting it from the statistical analysis. It's there. It's in the library. It's been there for 200 years. Hey, you know, people have been getting shot up with snake venom and cowpox and monkey pus and fecal matter and urine for many, many years. And we've been keeping records. We go out and vaccinate 100,000 people and count the number of people that die. And we go over here and look at another 100,000 people that haven't been vaccinated. And we count the number of people that die. And we report that and we write it down and we put it in books and we tuck it away someplace. You people, of course, don't go into those libraries and read that material, but I just thought I would report it to you. There are people that do that. You ever You ever wonder about some of these statistics and facts? You know, hell, even if you were just watching Dan Rather, you know, you ought to get enough just out of the propaganda that you listen to on television if your brain was still functioning, if it wasn't totally brain dead, and put some of these numbers together. I think every night on the 6 o'clock news, Dan reports some health problem. Some health thing comes along. The other day it was Vioxx, and they reported that Vioxx causes heart disease. Don't you think we should go out and buy more drugs? Have you ever heard that all drugs are poisons? Have you ever heard that, or is that something brand new to you? All drugs are poisons. Now, do you think that poisons are good for you? Do you think that poison's bad for you? Now, over in our county, I live in this little rinky-dink, podunk, backwoods, backwater, Ozark Hillbilly County, called Ozark County, Missouri. Even here, we have a poison control center. You know when somebody eats poison, they call the poison control center hysterically out of control, screaming into the phone to 911, "My child has been poisoned." Isn't poison bad for you? Well, if poison's bad for you and drugs are poison, why are drugs good for you? Now, let me take a little while. Think about that. Mull it over. Let me repeat that. If poison is bad for you and drugs are poison, why are drugs good for you? Because they cure disease. They do. Drugs cure disease. Well, what caused the disease? I don't know. I went to the doctor a couple of times in my life. Had something wrong with me. I said, what caused that? I don't know. But here, let me shoot you up with this. This will make you feel better. It does. Goddamn, morphine's good stuff. Huh. I'm telling you, I can see why heroin addicts like heroin. That morphine's good stuff. Doctors sell good stuff. We love it. I'm not so sure that morphine's good for you over the long haul, but sure feels good while you're getting shot up with it. Well, after institution of diphtheria vaccination in England and Wales in 1894, the number of deaths from diphtheria rose 20%. The continued presence of these infectious diseases in children who have received vaccines proves that lifelong immunity, which follows natural infection, does not occur in persons receiving vaccines. The injection process places the viral particles into the blood without providing any clear way to eliminate these foreign substances. So we put this stuff into, we mainline it, we shoot it up, and your immune system doesn't have any way to get rid of it, so it stays in there. Dr. W.B. Clark back in 1900 said he hadn't seen any cases of cancer in unvaccinated people. Gee, I wonder if there's anybody. Oh, we got one. Hey, wait a minute. My name's George Gordon, and I haven't been vaccinated. I'm 65, and I don't have cancer and haven't had it. Well, at least yet. A lot of other people out there have had cancer. Well, have you ever been vaccinated? See, pretty hard to check today. You got to go back in the literature 100 years to be able to test that theory out, to look at the statistics. Somebody's going to write me an email now and they're going to say, well, my God, I have been vaccinated. Is there anything I can do? Yeah, there's a lot you can do. You know, it's like going to Flo's whorehouse, you know. And you say, God, I've been going to Flo's every week, and I haven't got VD yet. Is there anything I can do to prevent VD? Yeah, there's a lot. You can stop going to Flo's. You can reduce your risk of VD by staying away from one of Flo's girls. That's a wild new idea, I know, but then why do these vaccines fail to protect against disease? Well, Waylon James, he's the author of Immunization, The Reality Behind the Myth, states, that the full inflammatory response is necessary to create real immunity. Now, prior to the introduction of measles and mumps vaccines, children got measles and mumps, and in the great majority of cases, these diseases were benign. Vaccines trick the body so that it does not mount a complete inflammatory response to the injected virus. Vaccines and sudden infant death syndrome, called SIDS, S-I-D-S. Oh, I made a mistake here. Hang on a minute. I got to correct this error. Yesterday, I reported that the Japanese, have stopped vaccinating babies 2 months to 2 years, and the incidence of, what's that disease in children? I made a mistake. It's SIDS. It's sudden infant death syndrome that was reduced to near zero by postponing vaccinations. And I said it was autism, and it's not. It's SIDS, S-I-D-S. All right. Once in a while, I screw up here, so get that one straight. Japanese tested this. Let me give you the report again. The Japanese, some years back, were taking a look at sudden infant death syndrome. They said, my God, what causes that? And the medical profession, they all come back, we don't know. We haven't got a clue. Hey, listen, if you had a car and it wasn't running right, and you took it into your mechanic, and you said, what do you think's wrong with my car, and your mechanic said, I don't know, I haven't got a clue, but for $25 an hour, I'll work on it all day. You go to your doctor and you say, hey, what causes cancer? He says, I don't know, but for $100,000, I'll treat it over the next 18 months before I kill you, before your insurance runs out. Somehow or another, doctors aren't treated like mechanics and plumbers. We expect our plumbers and carpenters, mechanics and electricians to fix our problems. You go to the doctor and says, I don't know what causes that. I got a treatment for it, but I don't know what causes it, and we don't know how to cure it. It's an incurable disease, cancer. Incurable disease, I tell you. We don't know what causes it. It's incurable. But we can sure treat it, and we got a program for that. Vaccines and sudden infant death syndrome. The incidence of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, has grown from 0.55 per 1,000 live births in 1953 to 12.8 per 1,000 in 1992 in Olmsted County, Minnesota. Let me give you that number again. It's probably about the same in your county. But in 1953, the incidence of sudden infant death syndrome is so low it's less than 1%. Less than 1 in 100. In fact, it's only about 1 in every 200. and get this, it's 0.55 per 1,000 live births. You'd have to have 2,000 live births in order to have one death in 1953. Now, let's move forward. By 1992, it's 13 per 1,000. So it went from one half of a baby dying in 1953 to 13 dying in 1992 from SID. SIDS. Why? How come more and more babies die from sudden infant death syndrome over that 40-year period? What caused that? Has anybody ever sat back and said, well, let's think about this for a second. Here we are in 1953, and 1,000 babies are born. You know, you had some little babies, didn't you? I had four or five of the little critters. And you know, if one of them dies, it's a traumatic experience. When one of these little suckers gets sick, you know, you agonize over it to keep you awake all night. So 1,000 babies are born. Babies were being born back in 1950. Did you know that? Babies were being born back in 1900, in 1800, and 1700. You know, little babies have been being born, you know, for thousands of years. Sudden infant death syndrome in 1900 is unknown. We don't even know what the hell it is. Never heard of it. It's like autism. Jesus, when did autism first rear its ugly head? When did sudden infant death syndrome? When did Alzheimer's come around? Did you know that Alzheimer's, SIDS, and autism were unheard of 100 years ago? Why do we have it today? Well, go ask your doctor. I don't know. Can you cure it? It's incurable. We don't know. You look at your dog and you say, well, my dog is a dumb animal. But your dog can tell the difference between being kicked and being stumbled over. Human beings are called intelligent. 1950, 1,000 babies are being born, and not even one out of 1,000 dies from sudden infant death syndrome. Today, 13 babies out of every 1,000 born in America today is going to die from SIDS. 13 out of 1,000. Well, that ain't very many. It's just a few. Now, all of those babies, all 1,000 of them, are going to be shot up with some kind of a vaccine. Well, if he's normal, he's going to be shot up, all 1,000 of them. In 1953, not very many children were being shot up with vaccines. Now, almost all of them are getting one or two. Your kid, by the time he's 5 years old, is going to have 32 vaccinations by age five. Could it be that 32 vaccinations laced with aluminum and mercury, two deadly toxic poisons, could have something to do with autism and sudden infant death syndrome? Just could it? I'm not telling you that it is. Just entertain the idea. Think about it for a minute. Gosh, something must have happened over the past 40 years. Now, in 1953, your kid would have had 2, 3, 4 vaccinations. When I was a kid, they were only going to shoot me up 3 or 4 times. My old granny, she said, you ain't shooting up my kid at all. No way. Period. I didn't even get the 3 or 4. My God, today they want to give your kid 32 shots by age 5. Let's see what much that is. $25 a shot. I think that's what they're charging times 32. Well, that's $800. Well, there's 47 million kids. 800 times 47 million. 800 times 47. Well, that's 37,600 million. Is that $37,600,000,000? $37 billion industry. Shooting them up. Well, it only kills a few. Well, you know, it's all in the interest of the economy, isn't it? And that $37 billion, you know, boosts pharmaceutical company stocks. And by the way, even if you could prove that that shot killed your kid, you couldn't get any compensation from the company that made the vaccine. Now, if you can show that your Chevrolet automobile caused you a damage, you can get compensation from General Motors. How come you can't get compensation from Merck? Well, God bless Dick Armey. Remember Congressman Dick Armey? Well, on his way out of Dodge, and that's Washington, D.C., he put a rider on a bill that exempted the pharmaceutical companies from being sued over vaccine failures. Just thought I'd share that one with you. God bless the Republicans, huh? Now, you know as well as I do that the only purpose for passing that kind of legislation was to protect these multinational corporations from an adverse reaction from a vaccine. Adverse reaction from a vaccine. And it protects the pharmaceutical industry. Tuck that one away in your hearts, boys and girls. Now, let's see what we got here. The rise in SIDS, S-I-D-S, SIDS deaths has occurred during a period when nearly every childhood disease was declining due to improved sanitation and medical process except SIDS. These deaths from SIDS did increase during a period when the number of vaccines given a child was steadily rising to 36. Woo! I said 32. Gosh, it's up to 36 per child by age 5. Oh, gosh, am I behind the times. Last numbers I saw when I made this report to you was 32. Gosh, your kid's getting 36 shots by age 5. How many is that? 36. and we'll divide that by 5 years. My God, that's 7 shots a year. Hey, we're giving our kids a vaccine every 2 months. Every 60 days, you take your kid in and you shoot him up with some kind of snake venom and monkey pus. By age 5, he's had 36 shots. It's up 4 over the last 2 years, or 3. And now your chances of getting SIDS, is up from 1/2 of a child per 1,000 in 1953 to 13 by 1992. Gosh, I bet you that it's higher than that today. The more vaccine you pump into your kid, the greater the chance that your kid will come down or die from sudden infant death syndrome. Now, that's the story that you're getting here from the statistics. Now, it's not great. I mean, you know, only 13 per 1,000. But for you 13 parents out there whose child dies in the middle of the night, now that's going to be a pretty traumatic experience for you. You might want to mull that one over. I eliminated that SIDS in my children. I never got any of them vaccinated, and all 5 of them lived to maturity. All 5. Well, Dr. W. Torch was able to document 12 deaths in infants which appeared within 3.5 to 19 hours of a DPT immunization. He later reported 11 new cases of SIDS deaths and one near miss which had occurred within 24 hours of a DPT injection. When he studied 70 cases of SIDS, 2/3 of those victims had been vaccinated from 1/2 day to 3 weeks prior to their deaths. None of these deaths was attributed to vaccines. Vaccines are a sacred cow to the medical industry, and nothing against them appears in the mass media because they are so profitable to the pharmaceutical companies. Now take a look tonight when you sit down to watch the news. Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw. Well, he's been replaced now. Tom's gone. Well, you know, Brian Williams has taken his place, I guess, and Dan and Peter Jennings. Watch the news tonight, boys and girls. Wake up. Let's smell the coffee. And then count the number of ads. And then count the number of ads that are put on there by the pharmaceutical companies. Hey, listen, the pharmaceutical companies are on the air selling their drugs. Do you think that CBS, NBC, or ABC is going to say anything derogatory about drugs? You know, business is business, and BS is BS. We're in business to make money. And CBS and Madison Avenue make a lot of money off of the pharmaceutical industry. That's why you never hear any bad reports about drugs. School nurse calls you up and says, my God, civilization has been saved by drugs in the pharmaceutical industry. We'd be a bunch of savages dragging our knuckles on the ground if it weren't for drugs and pharmaceuticals. Okay, but the incidence of sudden infant death syndrome has increased from 1 in 2,000 to 13 per 1,000 in 40 years. And it's better than that. It's even better than that. Dr. W. Torch was able to document 12 deaths in infants which appeared within 3.5 to 19 hours of a DPT immunization. Now, this tells you something, ladies. If you're going to take your kid in and have them shot up, don't go to sleep for the next 3 weeks. You sit right there by your kid 24 hours a day for the next 3 weeks and make sure your kid doesn't die in the middle of the night. I had an old buddy of mine years ago, about 1957, 58 along in there, and Leo and his wife, they had a baby and it was fine. She took the baby in and had its vaccinations, brought it home. It went to bed and the next morning the baby had died. Well, you know, we were all young and dumb, you know, back in the 50s. We never thought about the vaccinations might have had some adverse reaction in the baby and it died. Now, I just wanted to point out that my old buddy Leo and his wife, they'd never been vaccinated either. But, you know, in the 50s, we wanted to be modern. We wanted to protect our children, so we took them in, got them shot up. I listened to my old granny. I never had my kids shot up. But I saw one case, and boy, was that a traumatic experience. It caused a divorce. He blamed her, and she blamed him. Nobody ever blamed Merck or Pfizer. Nobody ever blamed the doctor. God forbid that we should blame the medical profession for the death of a child. They are our saviors. Those are the people that save us. Don't ever forget that. Now, there's a valid reason to think that not only are vaccines worthless in preventing disease, they are counterproductive because they injure the immune system, they permit cancer, autoimmune diseases, and sudden infant death syndrome to cause much disability and death. Now, are these vaccines sterile? Are vaccines sterile? Well, Dr. Robert Straker claimed that the Department of Defense was given $10 million in 1969 to create the AIDS virus to be used as a population-reducing weapon against blacks. By use of the Freedom of Information Act, Dr. Straker was able to learn that the DOD secured funds from Congress to perform studies on immune-destroying agents for germ warfare. I want to point out to you black listeners out there that AIDS has ravaged the black populations of the world, hasn't it? I just thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration, because, after all, that's another sacred cow. Somebody's going to write me now, they're going to say, honest to God, do you believe that our government would do that against its own citizens? Yeah, I think so. Once produced, the vaccine was given in two locations. Smallpox vaccine containing HIV was given to 100 million Africans in 1977. And over 2,000 young white homosexual males in New York City were given hepatitis B vaccine, which contained HIV virus, in 1978. This vaccine was given at New York City Blood Center. The hepatitis B vaccine containing the HIV virus was also administered to homosexual males in San Francisco, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Houston, and Chicago in 1978 and 1979. And the U.S. Public Health Epidemiology Studies have disclosed that these same six cities had the highest incidence of AIDS and AIDS-related complex, ARC, and deaths and death rates from HIV when compared to other U.S. cities. Hey, listen, boys and girls, did you know that these numbers are sitting right down there in your public library today? Did you know that? So I thought, you know, it was time for us to wake up, smell the coffee, and enjoy the roses. Now, when a new virus is introduced into a community, it takes 20 years for the number of cases to double. If the fabricated story that green monkey bites of pygmies led to the HIV epidemic, the alleged monkey bites in the 1940s should have produced a peak in the incidence of HIV in the 1960s, at which time HIV was non-existent in Africa. My God, you'd think that if these African monkeys caused it, you'd have had HIV in Africa long before today. You know, HIV is another one of those diseases that's brand new. You never heard of AIDS 100 years ago. Come on, boys and girls, grow up. You never heard of Alzheimer's disease, SIDS, autism 100 years ago. Has anybody ever started to think about, gee, what caused that? Where'd that come from? Why do we have it today, and we didn't have it 100 years ago? Has something changed? And if so, what changed? Now, the average guy goes to public school. He believes what he's told. I mean, I went to public school. I got 12 years of indoctrination. Now, I think it was Pope Leo that said, Pope Leo, back about, I don't know, 1,000, 1,100 A.D., you know, about 1,000 years ago. This pope, you know, he comes along and he says, you know, you give me a kid till he's 7 years old and he'll be a Catholic for life. Has it ever occurred to us, you give the public school system a kid till he's 7, 8, 9 years old, 10, 11, 12, 15 years old, and he'll be a deceived automaton for life? You ever think of that? My gold broker was telling me the other day he was a recovering Catholic. He'd been indoctrinated by Roman Catholicism, and it takes a long time, takes a lifetime to recover from that. Well, is it any different than public school? I mean, Mrs. Wiles told me that we needed to have our vaccines. When I was a kid going to school, they used to encourage you to get your shots and vaccines. And I can't remember more than, you know, 3, 4, 5 shots that they were recommending, you know, when I was a kid back in the 40s and 50s. Today you get 36. This is the latest report I've got out here. Last time I reported it was 32. Now it's 36 shots by age 5. Gee, do you suppose over the next 30 or 40 years we could raise that? We get up to 72 vaccinations by age 5. Well, think about it. If 4 shots were good back in the 50s, 8 shots obviously were better by the 60s and 70s. 16 shots must have been even better yet. Well, if 16 shots are good for you, then 32 have got to be even better. Now listen, boys and girls, if 36 shots by age 5 are good for your children today, can you imagine the utopia that we're going to be in when you can get your kid up to 72 vaccines by age 5? 72 vaccines. You know, by the time you get up to 72 vaccines by age 5, we should be able to double the incidence of SIDS and autism, shouldn't we? Maybe even quadruple it. I mean, if we could double diabetes rates in the United States in 20 years by doubling the consumption of soda pop, and if we can go from less than one kid dying per thousand from SIDS in 1953 to 13, 40 years later, I'll bet you we can get it up to 26. 26 per thousand over the next 40 years if we can double the number of shots we give our children. Shucks, we might even do better than that. Now, I'll assure you that when your child comes down with autism or sudden infant death syndrome or something, you are going to be sad. Sad. Sadsville. So let's start thinking about that up front. That maybe these shots and vaccines that you're getting aren't as good as you thought they were. And if nothing else, why don't you go do a little research for yourself? I mean, I'm not asking you to believe me because I told you. Why don't you just go look at the numbers? Why don't you go plug in vaccines and vaccination on some search engine over there, and I'll bet you that you can get some information over the internet, some articles that are written by doctors and researchers, and you can pull out these same numbers that I'm giving you here. I'm not some great guru. I just went out here and started picking up the numbers. These are the statistical analysis that have been compiled over the last 100 years. They're not being reported to you. But then after all, you know, if you were selling a product that was killing people, would you want to explain to them, well, you know, come on in and buy Vioxx. It'll probably give you a heart attack, but, you know, it's pretty good stuff, and it helps our bottom line. And besides that, it's a real moneymaker for Merck. And by the way, if you're going to use Vioxx, you ought to buy Merck stock. Now, you know, Merck has just taken that Vioxx off the market. And you've probably heard this before, that all drugs are a poison. That's why I've asked the question, if poison is bad and you got a poison control center in your county, and poison's bad for you, and drugs are poison, how in the hell can drugs be good for you? And you don't have to be a rocket scientist, you know, boys and girls, to figure this out. But, you know, you gotta tear yourself away from the television for 5 minutes, clear your head, and see if your brain still functions. If it does, hell, you ought to be able to put two and two together and just ask yourself a couple, three questions. Like, gosh, is this as good as it's cracked up to be? Maybe if I looked into it, maybe missing my flu shot this year wasn't as bad as I thought it was. If you missed this, I got to tell you the story again. Flu shots. Listen to this. Individuals who had five consecutive flu shots between 1970 and 1980 have a 10 times greater chance of getting Alzheimer's disease than if they had no shots at all or only one or two. You know, the mere fact that you missed your flu vaccine this year may save you from Alzheimer's. Now, it's not because the flu vaccine is poison. It's because of the toxins they put in it, the mercury and the aluminum. Now, you got a little kid over here, and you're going to give this kid 36 vaccinations laced with mercury and aluminum, and you think that's good for your kid? Yeah, he might not die from sudden infant death syndrome, but when this kid gets to be 37, 42, or 55, is this child going to get breast cancer, cervical cancer? You know, cancer is out of control. I guess if you get to a point where everybody gets cancer, wouldn't you say that that was an epidemic? You know, here in my county, I don't know if this is true in your county, but I kind of suspect that it's true. Do you know that if you had 50% of the people in this county come down with a disease, they would call that an epidemic? Do you know that if 10% of the people in this county came down with a disease, they'd call it an epidemic? My God, if 2% came down with the same disease in this county, there would be fits. You'd have the CDC and ABC and NBC all over Ozark County if 2% of the people in this county all came down with a disease. Have you ever heard anybody say that cancer was an epidemic that needed to have immediate attention drawn to it, that we got to come up with some intelligent answers to this problem? If you went back to doing what you were doing in 1900, if Americans just stopped right dead in their tracks and said, we're not going to do what we're doing today, we're going to do what we did in 1900, the incidence of cancer would go back to 1 in 33 instead of 1 in 2. Now, I don't want to suggest to you that you change your lifestyle. I mean, God, heaven forbid that we want to change anything that we're doing. But there's got to be a cause for every effect, boys and girls. You know, there was a time when we didn't have diabetes. Diabetes. It's an epidemic in the United States. You know, you got obesity here. I can remember as a kid, you know, we had a kid in the second grade. His name was Franklin. We had one fat kid in the second grade. 25% of the kids in the second grade today are fat. Is there anybody out there able to figure out that whatever it was that we were doing in 1944 and what we're doing today in the year 2004 caused a 25% increase? Now, it's not just 25%. I'm telling you, there was one fat kid in my class. That's 2,500% if there's 25% of the kids fat now. 2,500% increase. Now, there wasn't a single McDonald's in 1944. Today you got, I don't know, I wouldn't say millions, but thousands and tens of thousands of McDonald's restaurants. We know that fast foods and too many calories cause obesity. I mean, hell, you've been watching that. Hell, Dan Rather's telling you that. That doesn't mean you're going to quit eating Big Macs, but I'm just pointing out, can you see cause and effect? So when I come in here and I say, listen, you know, these vaccines over here might not be all that they're cracked up to be. There might be a bigger problem with these vaccines than you people had originally thought. When I was a kid going to school back in the 40s and 50s, we had 1 hour of physical education. They called it PE, physical education, an hour a day. It was a class. You had to go to it whether you liked it or not. And if you got caught cutting class and smoking down in the weeds, then they'd discipline you. They wanted you to get out there and work up a sweat and do something constructive and intelligent, you know. Today, I was watching a show the other day, and they said they got a school in Maryland, And they have physical education one day a week. Can you believe that? I mean, once a week. My God, these kids have to walk. They don't do anything to sweat, but they got to go walk. They walk around the school building five times once a week. My God. Oh well, and they call that intelligent. You know, you look at your dog, you call him a dumb animal. We call humans, we call them intelligent. In 1954, Dr. Bernice Eddy, a bacteriologist, discovered live monkey viruses in supposedly sterile, inactivated polio vaccine developed by Dr. Jonas Salk. Did you get that? This discovery was not well received at the NIH, and Dr. Eddy was demoted. Well, he ought to be demoted. My God, a guy come in here and find out that there's some kind of a problem with the Salk vaccine? I mean, come on, you know. Polio vaccine is a sacred sacrament in America. It's like religion. My God, it's holy. It's righteous. It's just. It's good. And look at this guy. This Dr. Eddy comes in here, starts snooping around. Damn bacteriologist. And he discovered live monkey virus in your vaccine, for crying out loud. That guy deserved to get demoted. Should have been fired. But at least they demoted him. Now, later, Dr. Eddy, working with Sarah Stewart, discovered S.E. polynoma virus. No, it's polyoma. P-O-L-Y-O-M-A. Polyoma virus. Now, this virus was quite important because it caused cancer in every animal that received it. Let me repeat that. I don't want you to miss this one. This Dr. Eddy, who had discovered this live monkey virus in your supposedly sterile Salk polio vaccine. Well, we fixed that sucker. We demoted him. Then the dirty sucker comes back and discovers what? He discovered polyoma virus, a virus that's pretty important to all of us boys and girls because this polyoma virus caused cancer in every single animal that received it. Oh, so maybe the vaccine in cancer that was observed by this Dr. Clark back in 1900. Remember I reported that to you yesterday? Dr. Clark reported that he had studied 200 cancer cases. Of course, back in 1900, cancer wasn't very common. Only 1 in 33 people ever got cancer in their lifetimes. So this guy goes out and he looks at 200 cancer cases in 1900 and reports, I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. Now, 100 years later, Dr. Eddy finds that we've got this polyoma virus in the vaccines, and when you put this polyoma virus into an animal, they have 100% cancer results. Hey, have you ever thought about maybe there might be some of that polyoma virus in your flu vaccine this year? Hey, I don't want to get you psyched out here, but you know, think about it. Yellow fever vaccine had previously been found to contain avian bird leukemia virus. Later, Dr. Hillemond isolated SV40 virus from both the Salk and the Sabin polio vaccines. There were 40 different viruses in these polio vaccines that they're trying to eradicate. And they were never able to get rid of these viruses contaminating the polio vaccines. The SV40 virus causes malignancy. It's now been identified in 43% of cases of non-Hodgkin lymphoma. 36% of brain tumors, 18% of healthy blood samples, 22% of healthy semen samples, and other malignancies. So by the time this discovery was made, this SB40 had already been injected into 10 million people through the Salk vaccine. 10 million of you not only got your polio vaccine, you got your cancer vaccine all at the same time, and for only $25. Hey, such a deal, huh? Gastric digestion inactivities, some of 40 SV40 Sabin vaccine. Gastric digestion inactivates some of the SV40 in Sabin vaccine, and however, the isolation of strains of Sabin polio vaccine from all 38 cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, 11 GBS in Brazil, suggests that significant numbers of persons are able to be infected from this vaccine. All 38 of these patients had received the polio vaccine months to years before the onset of GBS, that's Guillain-Barré syndrome. The incidence of non-Hodgkin lymphoma has mysteriously doubled since the 1970s. Hey, maybe that old fart back in 1900 wasn't as dumb as we give him credit for. Maybe he was onto something, huh? Now, remember, I'm just reporting to you the facts that are out there in your library today. I didn't make this up because I'm not that smart. I want to tell you right now, I ain't that bright. If I was smart enough to report this and make up these numbers over here, I'd be out here making real serious money. But all the numbers that I'm giving you, I'm taking right out of the literature. This is the literature that's in your public library. These are the studies that are made by outfits that you pay your tax dollars to support. You know, the Center for Disease Control, they put the numbers together, they put them into books, they put them up on the shelf, and Dan Rather doesn't tell you about them. My God, if you people had these numbers and you were getting them from Dan Rather, you wouldn't get these vaccines, would you? I mean, you'd have to be brain dead to go out here with this kind of information and then line up and say, I've got to have my flu vaccine for the year. Remember this? Individuals, studies, I'm giving you the numbers. If you've had five consecutive flu shots, five in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, let's think back now, boys and girls. If you got a flu shot in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, and 2004, five in a row, your chances are 10 times greater of getting Alzheimer's disease. I'm out of time. They got to leave it right there. I'm going to have an apoplectic fit here in a minute. You've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in both the United States and worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, just go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The opinions, the beliefs, the comments and views and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of the network or of this radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to the website georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, I'm out of time. There's my signal. It says I gotta go. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, with more on vaccines. So until then, good night, friends.